You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
So welcome to the studios of Freedom 106.5 FM. I'd like to welcome Mr. David Stanley McLeod, also known as Shadow, and Mr. Odin Kwao. Yeah, come a little closer to the mic for me here. Yeah, and that way we can hear you say good morning. So good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Tesca.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm feeling very good this morning to talk about the seafarers and their problem. But good morning, Trinidad and Tobago, and good morning to every seafarer throughout the world.
So what we're going to do in a little bit is just to try and understand. First of all, I was not even aware that there was an association for seafarers. We always thought that... I'm not even sure if there was a group per se that looked after the seafarers. So first tell me about the association, when it started, and what is the purpose, the main purpose of the association?
All right. This group, well, I am David Stanley McLeod Shadow. This group was started, and it's 14 years now since we've been a register group. But before that, we was a group just trying to get together. The full reason for this group is to seek the interests of seafarers in Trinidad and Tobago. I have 38 years experience on the sea, on all different type of ship. The only type of ship I never sail on is passenger and car carrier. But all the others you call it, I work on them. So we are seeking the interests for all seafarers and the unjust that is taking place with seafarers in Trinidad and Tobago. There is hundreds of young men and women who did what you call the pre-sea course. It expire and they never get a job. So we are standing up, this group is standing up to seek, is a few of us, well, who have as much as 40 years, 38 years, 45 years sea experience, who is part of this association. Mm-hmm. What we does, we seek the interest with all the companies who is chartering ship and even the sea bridge. Well, let we go to the sea bridge first.
Mm-hmm. So the sea bridge you'd be referring to from Trinidad to Tobago and vice versa.
Right.
Right. So what because I know that you've called a couple times.
Right.
You know, highlighting that the ships are moving from port to port. Many positions are open and not being filled, one with persons of local residency. So is it true that the Seabridge purpose or the ships that are flowing there, besides the ones that are operated by government, are you saying that most of them, the captains, etc., persons who own the boats, tend to hire foreign persons rather than locals?
All right, let me explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trinidad and Tobago and know much about this. It's more the seafarers will know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a hidden industry.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're starting with the Blue Wave. That is the newly old ship that they bring here. Mm-hmm. They charter that ship and bring it here to take cargo from Port of Spain to Scarborough. We have qualified, certified seafarers, captain, engineer, mate, AB, bosun, call it, the whole crew that they will have to crew with. The foreigners have to get work permit to work here. We don't have to get no work permit. The government charter this ship and they bring it here with no agreement for the local seafarers to be working on it. The one before had local seafarers, which was the Cargo Star. They had local seafarers working on it. This one, I did a search on it on Google and discover it's a Panamanian company that is what Google tell me, with Indian seafarers on board. It was tied up in Puerto Rico for 2 years. It went to Malta on dry dock, and from Malta they just go and polish it up and bring it here. That ship is too old to be operating in Trinidad and Tobago. It is 35 years old. Why our government is sending people to look for a ship like that? We want to know who looking for a ship like that. But that is not the big problem with we. The big problem with us, we should have from captain go right down to beginners to cadet on board these vessels. We have qualified seafarers, which is male and female. Does captainship foreign? They are not getting the opportunity to captain that.
So let's ask the question here. What is necessary for locals to be able to even start at the lowest level on the ship? How do you get that qualification?
All right. Well, let me give you how you get that qualification first. UTT, Caribbean Fishery, and we have some other private school. You go there and you start with your pre-C if you're now beginning. But like we who think we have all with certificate, ABOS, tanker, you call it motorman, oiler, right up to captain and chief engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem here, if they had put the right charter agreement in place so that any ship charter to take cargo, well, we're dealing from Trinidad to Tobago first, must have full crew on board. We mustn't even have as much as the captain as a foreigner, because we have qualified and certified young men and women come out from UTT.
Mm-hmm.
We have a captain, I will call her name because she is our
sponsor. Wait, hold on. Before you do that, you have her permission to call her name?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
She is our sponsor who keeping this group alive, mm-hmm, by sponsoring for we to do things like this, get little help to move around to get things going. She sponsors us. They not even getting the opportunity to work on these vessels that will be working right home. They have to look for vessel with foreign company that is not coming near to Trinidad and Tobago. If the government to put and who they sent to make the charter agreement, to put the right charter agreement that when you arrive in Trinidad, the foreign seafarers must go to the airport and our local seafarers must sign on the vessel. We are saying 75%.
Right. So just point of reference.
One minute. 75% of the job force must be Trinbago seafarers because we are qualified and certified. It is paid by the taxpayers of Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, what I want to establish first is the charter that you mentioned. When was it written and what is stated in that charter that gives leeway to what you're requesting of these ships that come into the ports of Trinidad and Tobago?
Now, as long as you charter to work for Trinidad and Tobago, before it used to have that in the charter agreement with Flour Mill and NP and them, but of some years ago, they move it away. We don't know who move it away and start paying something what they call free money. Now, let me explain you how this free money go. The ship come with a crew. The owner doesn't want the crew come off. He pay for the crew who's supposed to join the vessel who to stay ashore, and every month they get the full salary. But that, I don't know who cut it off. They must be fine. Well, the people who stay in ashore getting too much money, they cut it off. But we believe, stand for correction, and it alleged that the free money is still paying, but who getting it? We don't want free money. We want our seafarers to be on board the vessel working to gain more experience, because you have to get sea time to go up to your captain and your engineer. Mm-hmm. We have with local captain and engineer have to go and work foreign. They're taking food off the local table and putting food on foreigners' table. That should not be happening.
So is it that the roster for persons that to fill these spots not available, or is it that even I would think that some Trinbagonians, rather than wait for the job, they go overseas? I want to bring in our next guest as well. So you have an answer for that? Is it that the persons that you say are able to be hired from Trinidad and Tobago just don't want the job and figure that they will go abroad? Bigger dollars, probably?
I wouldn't say that. The problem really is that they are not being looked up. They are not being looked at.
So they're not being considered at all?
Not being considered at all. That is the main problem. Because they are willing to work in the country of Trinidad and Tobago instead of going outside, because if they have family, they'd be much rather better than to be around them, than to be away from them. So that is the problem right now. They are not considering the local seafarers in this country. So they have to go abroad to look for work. That's one of the problem.
Has standards or requirements changed that drastically? And let's say UTT is not keeping up with the standard of the qualifications. Are there a lot of changes? Or is it that persons... Because I'm still trying to figure out exactly why, if the University of Trinidad and Tobago has made an effort to have that program where, you know, they produce persons for the sea and not hiring them. What is the gap? Explain the gap to me.
Let me explain that to you. UTT was linked to an English university training and qualifying seafarers. We had 4 tankers, 2 methanol and 2 gas tankers was walking around here. Our students for 5 years in England had the highest honor. So you could understand why I go in there. The highest honor in the university, Trinbago young men and women. The problem here is that they're saying that our seafarers will strike. But if you're treating me good, and I know is we own people we're transporting from Tobago, from Scarborough to Port of Spain, would we leave them to suffer? Look what does happen when he have a big event in Tobago. How much people does be left back in Tobago? But here, what is one of the big problem here? On the sea bridge, they have foreign captain, foreign chief engineer, and the only local officer that they hire is a third engineer. And I stand to correct, I don't know if the engine room have a third. They paying the foreigners US dollar and paying our local TT dollars. No ship don't pay TT dollars. It's only in Trinidad and Tobago that happening. The seafarers who working on the APT, James and them, they get 3 months contract, and after that 3 months, you don't know when you're getting our next job. They're supposed to be permanent job with job security that they could go to a financial institution and get a loan to build a house, buy a house, educate their children, see about medical for their family. That is not happening. We want to know why our own people cannot get permanent job on ships that we are paying back for the APT, James and Emil. The government took a loan and from the Australian company to build those ships. When they build these ships, we try to advise the government to send up engineer before they start installing machinery on the ship. They never pay us no mind because they didn't have no experience people to see about that. I'm saying that openly. Otherwise, we would not have that problem today with our seafarers getting problem to go on vessel. They are not even training on these vessels, which we vessels supposed to be training school for our young people. Let me give you a little something to show how much our seafarers want to work. Royal Caribbean came to Trinidad approximately 3 years and tell the government they want to employ Trinidad and Tobago, that is the past government, Trinidad and Tobago seafarers. Thousands of young people came out to register to go and work with Royal Caribbean. We don't know how much they take. They went to Tobago to register. People, young men and women, went to Tobago with sleeping bags, sleeping all about on the pavement in Scarborough to get to register. That could show you how much our young people want to work. And they're not putting nothing in place. The offshore industry right now have a lot of seismic work going on out there. We don't know how much local out there working. These are the things we want to know. who went and chartered that old vessel from the scrapyard? Who signing these charter agreement? NP have ship walking from Point 14 to Silat to Tobago. They have to get work permit to work there, not a Trinbagonian, and them here over 40 years. My partner, if he show you some the amount of letters that we've been writing to the government and to NP, and we're not getting no assistance.
So let me ask this next question now. Is age a very vital point when hiring for certain positions? And the reason why I ask this is that one, on one end of the spectrum, they say that persons are too young, so they lack the experience. And then on the other side of it, if it is that you're closer to older age, you may not be as nimble or capable, because this is the sea we're talking about.
All right.
Yeah? So, you know, no disrespect, but I'm just asking.
No, and I'm glad you asked.
Yeah?
Seafarers have no age limit throughout the world.
Okay.
Now, if you don't go on the ship to get the experience, to train, how would you get the experience? It's only on the ship you could get that experience to be a seafarer. Mm-hmm. You cannot get that ashore. You could do the pre-sea exam. When you have your experience, you come ashore and you do your AB, your motorman, and all the which your experience now, you're just going to get your certificate.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the problem come. If you're in training, the only company that's trained seafarers, Trinbago seafarers, is Proman, because they use train our some of our cadet. I don't know how much, but I know they does. All the ships that is bringing the gas and oil, every machinery in Trinidad and Tobago is operated by gas and oil. And those ships charter with Paria, Heritage, PetroChin, NP, Flour Mill, Nutramix. Not one have Trinbago seafarers on board, which they supposed to have in the charter agreement. You must carry Trinidad and Tobago seafarers. This is the big problem we are facing.
So from first of all, you would like the relevant authorities to look at the charter once more. Sorry, update it.
Yes.
Was there a percentage of locals that were supposed to be on the boats? I know that you referred to it a little earlier on, but is it a standard portion, let's say 30% foreign and 70% local? Has that been solidified in the charter?
In the early days, that used to happen.
So what is the difference between then and now? What has changed so much?
Well, we don't know who move away that. As government change, things change. But we don't know who interfere with it. He had some a clause in the Shipping Act. Right now, with Shipping Act freeze, it's supposed to be renewed and to be laws that with proposal for the seafarers, laws and legislation. It freeze. They're not seeing about it because of interest of some people, some businessmen. I don't know what it is causing it, and I can't say I stand for correction. But if that industry correct Tesco, we will have thousands of young men and women working and proud to be working. You know how proud that a young man or young woman will be on the APT James or the Boko Reef as the captain to walk in between the people, you know, his own family. When you look at I'm not a racist, you know, but when you look at is white man. If I go to talk to a government minister, the first thing they're asking me, where your degree, where your master? But if a white man walk up there and say, hi, how are you? Yes, sir. And he will be telling them stupidness, but I using my 40 years experience to help to educate them because it's what I see while I walk in. The white man come back on his ship and say, you have some foolish people running this business. Now, I feel in a how, because we know that we are qualified. We know we could talk to them and show them what to do. Look at a simple thing. Now, some of our officers went to work with the company who is operating the sea bridge. with fully qualified and certified with experience, they sail outside on foreign ship. You know, they're muzzled, they cannot get to use their talent and their skills. They have to leave the company who operate in the sea bridge. But I can't call the name of the company because...
Please don't, because I like to keep my job. But I just want to take some messages and calls here because persons are sending in questions like this one, for example. Good morning, Tusker. I stand to be corrected, but I think most of these ships are leased to the government with a crew from whoever the lease is from. Most of the time we lease ships, they come with an entire crew. Is it that the ship's so savvy that only the original crew of the ship could work it? Is it that y'all can't learn how to operate that ship? But hold on a second, let's take this call. Sorry about that, caller. You can call back 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Jessica. Morning.
Good morning.
I would refuse sort of way to go down the road of the lessee race factor, because you're correct. Some of these vessels come with a lot of training from the people who more or less from the point of origin. So if you have a contractual arrangement, you just can't really have trainees operating in that space. And it's not a bias. The other thing, do we have people in the training? Because I think down at the Chagaramas, there was part of UTT, a location where we could have had our people trained to use these vessels, but notwithstanding that, you need what you call the actual training on the vessel. So it's not so much of a bias. The other thing too, there was someone operating on the vessel, second in command, and that person's contract was renewed. So there are some areas that are prerequisites based on where the vessel is coming from, but there are areas where some of the people's their contract, although they were in the shipping industry in a big way, their contract was not renewed. So there's a little bit of information that's not coming true as it should.
Mm-hmm. Well, caller, let me tell you something.
Thank you for your call.
Let me tell you something, caller. Others hear you on the air. You don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong. Trinidad and Tobago rate in the 60s, the 70s, the 90s, number one maintenance in the world. With English company, Norwegian company, American company. We work on all type of vessel. We used to fly out from Trinidad here and join vessel all part of the world. I go all over the world. I was working in the Middle East all about on tankers, 396,000 ton. Well trained, well qualified and certified. We rate some of the top of the line, as we will call it, seafarers. You just used to fly a seafarer from Trinidad and tell him, you're going on a general cargo, you're going on a crane ship, you're going on a bulk. And he don't know that time the union, SWWTU union, used to select seafarers. And they know exactly the crew that they're selecting. You never had a problem saying that we cannot work, we don't know what we are about. When we used to work for a company called Harrison used to take us from Trinidad, and when we reach England, they take us off and put us on the oldest vessel they have to bring it back and put the Englishman on the vessel that we bring back, because the Englishman didn't used to be working. When we come back again, they run we around Africa and India and all about. When we bring it up to standard, the takeoff's off. By that time, some of us with occasion reach, we come home. And when we come home, the other crew gone out. It's the same thing. So that caller, he always know everything. I just hear him on everything. He knows nothing about seafarers. To be a seafarer, you have to be out there. And we have qualified. We have Caribbean Fishery used to be training. It started in John D. There's where it started, when they used to be training. I did my certificate in John D. But it's on the ship you get all the experience.
Yeah, your sea legs.
On the ship.
You get your sea legs.
Well, your sea legs is that you're capable, you're not seasicking anymore, and you could stand up under any weather. That is how we call it, the sea legs.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning. 625-2257-627-3223 is the number. I expected this question to come in. Please ask your guest where he is employed presently. Is that, does that bear any consequence to what you're stating right now?
Well, let me tell him. I am a retiree. I am 77 years old. From the age of 18 years, I start working on ship. I work by ALCO for 11 years. I work as a bosun for 25 years on different container ships.
The bosun is the accountant, yes?
The bosun, no, is the person who run the deck.
Right.
You go up to the chief mate on a morning and he give you orders what we're doing today. And he go on his way and everything in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Million of dollars, you controlling.
Let's take some calls. 625-2257-627-3223. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Tasca.
Morning.
This gentleman who's speaking right now. My God. You know, everything you say is true. Because I think you're being hamstrung. I think that, first of all, before I start asking you questions, is the seafarers similar to longshoremen's?
No. The seafarers is who walk on the ship. Longshore is who walk on the ship when it come in to see about taking off the cargo and so forth.
So those are the longshoremen, right?
Those are the longshore. And who dock up the ship when the ship come alongside, take the rope, to, which we call the marine line, to tie up the ship.
Tie it up. Well, let me tell you something. Those longshoremen have real serious protection in America. I'll tell you the truth. Thousands of cases they've brought. But you see, in Trinidad, we are corrupted. And I say that because you said we have good, skilled children, and they're being bypassed. I had a little child, 12 years old, who dropped out of school to learn construction because he had to help his family. We have oil money coming in like crazy. We have the capability to build cargo ships in Trinidad. Finland doing it, and they're so tiny. All these tiny countries are advancing, and we are struggling behind. And you are advocating to help our locals get jobs in the marine industry, which is going to be booming and already booming.
Exactly.
Look what's going on in Guyana. All of the current, you see, we have leaders who just kind of focus on the other stuff, you know, like corruption within who could get money and contracts and insiders, because it impacts you. You are the consequences of corruption. And I'm glad you're here today to tell us this, because so many young children, we need those skills. You don't have to all be an AI. AI is going to displace most of our workers, but it's not going to displace seafarers. That's a unique job.
Cola, let me let me come in with something as you say that. We used to be going to the secondary school and do outreach.
I was just about to ask that. You know, the effort to get the information that this particular industry does exist, and it is vast. I mean, you just spoke of the positions on the ship, and then there are a whole lot of others off on the docks, and it's a lot of safety accreditation and so on that you have to use as well. Is it that we like you need a bigger campaign to let people know that this is a very wide and vast industry?
Well, this is why we are happy now to get interview on the from the media house and them, that Trinidad and Tobago will know. Because, you know, some people will call in and they know nothing and just try to bring you down. But I went on a ship knowing nothing about a ship. And come out the bosun leading is your skill, your talent, and your interest in your job. You love your job. And one of the things in my time, while we used to be happy to go to sea, you get paid to see the world. You're going around the world. When you come back, you could sit down and tell your family, I crossed the equator 4 times. I went around the world. I never go to every country, but I went around the world. Because the union used to fly me out. And I know where I'm going. I just know I'm going and join a ship. When I reach in the port with the agent picking me up, I see my name on a plaque. Yeah, David McLeod going on so and so. Mm-hmm. And I say,
chauffeur and team come to pick you up.
Right. So that to show you. We are fully qualified and certified. But right now, The problem is happening so long that our young men and women didn't get the opportunity to go on ships like tanker because they never put the right charter agreement in place. We have to get tanker certificate. But the minute we will send qualified people with the younger people who now going into the industry, and in a contract is 6 months, in 6 months' time, you will surprised to know how much some of these young fella make themselves skillful, qualified.
One person here was saying that, it's true. They do call you out and fly you all over the world. That's true. That caller knows nothing he's talking about. I used to fly all over the world to work on vessels. Another question here says, why after 40 years this organization is not recognized? Is it that I would think some industries have, like, as I say, kind of silent recruitment.
14 years.
Yes. Okay, no, texter, it is 14, not 40. Because yes. I think you all started this organization to be able to advocate for young people to get the jobs on the boats.
Exactly.
And what about persons who have been in positions like captain, bosun, etc.? Is there like retirement programs or what kind of coverage do they get? Is their treatment just as wanting as young people?
Well, yes, because we have qualified and certified people, and the ships that is working for us, who chartered, who is paid by taxpayers of Trinidad and Tobago, who all the gas and oil that used in all with factory and everything come in here, which this contract supposed to sign the right way with the right MOU that our seafarers will be working on those ships. That used to happen in the 60s come down, is in the late 90s and the early 2000s that mash up.
So is it directly the companies that need to write those contracts, or is it the
charterer have to put that agreement in
inside the contract.
Must carry Trinidad and Tobago seafarer. And that have no problem after that putting the contract. Any charterer like the NP could pick up the phone in the morning and call the company and say, you know, after all these years, you never carry no Trinbagonian. You see, from when you're 6 months up, we want to put Trinbagonian on the ship. He don't want to lose the contract because of his crew on board. He will say, well, all right, we will have to work that out and something happened to that. Yeah.
All right, so let's take a short break and we'll continue with the questions as well. Let's take that break and we continue to talk about seafarers. Do you all represent fishermen as well?
Well, let me explain that.
Hold on. Let's take the break and we'll get to that in a minute.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.
Trinidad and Tobago Seamen Education Employment Association contractor.
So it's not only to represent the seamen.
All right. You was asking me that question.
Yeah.
Yes, no.
Yeah.
No.
And also fishermen. Do you all represent?
Well, let me explain it clearly to you.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you are walking on the sea, you are a seafarer.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you are walking on the sea, you are a seafarer. But the fishermen doesn't believe that they are a seafarer. They believe that they are a hustler. They have their boat, they're going out and catch the fish and come back. But they supposed to have a certificate, a license, so that they will be manning the boat for themselves. But it is coming slowly. But everyone who walk on the sea is a seafarer. I see on the fast ferry, they're using something called hotel staff. Hotel staff is like cruise ship passenger where you live on board, where is a moving hotel, a floating hotel. But the fast ferry and them have no, is not no moving hotel. Nobody lives on board. They have no accommodation there. So they're just exploiting the people by using that name.
Or using that term to differentiate.
Exactly.
Because it would be different functions and then different type of pay.
Exactly.
Responsibilities, etc.
So this hotel staff.
Kind of smart and true.
This hotel staff is only to exploit the young people. Because all is any certificate you have to get is under seafaring. We have some local school does qualify people the same way in Trinidad and Tobago here.
Is it recognized by the Ministry of Education?
Yes. We wrote to the Ministry of Education to do outreach in school. The Ministry of Education is not there who control UTT. UTT Maritime and Seafaring Campus. Caribbean Phase 3 is the government school. Is not the education, that is not under education too. Even though you're under ministry.
Well, you know how to ask that question because you go through all of that time studying the particular fields and then you hear that the qualifications you get not recognized.
Well,
that would, you know, upset a lot of people if you go through all of that and pay all that money and, you know.
Well, let me tell you something. It's $4,000 just for your pre-seat.
You see what I mean?
That is, and many family who was working CPEP and all like that want their son and daughter to go and work on a ship. They sacrifice and help them to go and do that course. And that certificate remained there. They never get a job because of our government is not putting the right charter agreement in place when they charter ship. Every ship that is chartered by the private investor and the government of Trinidad and Tobago with the taxpayers, supposed to have agreement to carry 75% of the local seafarers as long as we have the qualification. If we doesn't have the qualification, well, then the foreigners stay. Now, I hear a guy was saying about training and you're coming with your crew. Everywhere you go, you come with your crew. But when you have your agreement with your contractual agreement in your charter agreement that you must carry local, when you reach there, you know that the crew have to change. It's qualified, certified people. You have your certificate that you're showing to the company, the captain have your seaman book to see how qualified you are.
Well, Mr. Kwam just gave me little laminated card here, certificate issued under the provisions of the International Convention on Standards of Training, Certification and Watchkeeping for Seafarers 1978 as amended in 1995, Marine Safety Training and Consultants Limited under the authority of Maritime Services Division of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. So basically when you're going for a job, this is what you have to present.
Yes.
And let's say for whatever reason, the ship is going from port to port. Anything happens, you have to have this on your person. If it is a command, let's say, search the ship or want to see who's qualified or not, you have to have this.
Now, let me explain.
It's almost like your doctor's credentials that you have to put up on your wall.
Right. Let me explain something again. Because there's a lot of things Trinidad and Tobago and know about the seafaring industry.
Mm-hmm.
When you sign on a ship, you have what you call the ship article. You sign that. So the company know how much people from where the captain have that, he pass it on. When you're signing off the ship, you sign that you're coming off. When you have to go to the on a vessel, you have your whole pile of documents. Let me explain some of them. First aid, fire certificate, survival at sea, AB, motorman, oiler, third mate right up to captain, third engineer right up to chief engineer, motorman, oiler. All these are certificates we have to have. When I newly started to sail, all I had was to get to go on a ship was my passport, a tax clearance. Now, you have to have this certificate to go up a gangway.
So Trinidad and Tobago, this question comes directly in knowing that there may or may not be an oil boom coming up with, or we're experiencing, you know, this, we're profiting off of the conflict with Iran and all of that, but there are opportunities that are opening up now to, one, be involved in the oil industry as a maritimer. is it that you are asking for the government to direct persons who are looking for persons who are so qualified towards your association and to the University of Trinidad and Tobago so that young people and also people of all ages, yeah? But we're more focused on the young people because we want to keep them out of trouble.
Right.
Right?
Well,
is it that you're looking for them to really focus on these people to employ and to stick to the charter? But I still think that that charter needs to be addressed because we're not too sure why it was changed, how it was changed, and how can we change it to benefit the company and the citizens of TNT?
Well, this is why we are looking at this thing now, because they're talking about all the train will be operating, that is LNG.
Mm-hmm.
All those ships that is coming there, that who used to come there before, more ship will be coming there. Ship taking the urea, the methanol, and all of them. They are chartered by Trinidad and Tobago. What company we know? He have the private company and he have the government company. All we want them to do is to put the right charter agreement in place that you must carry Trinidad and Tobago, you must carry cadet, you must carry beginners.
Mm-hmm.
But how
would they enforce that? Because these big oil companies, you know, is literally like, we just here to do what we want and go.
All right.
How do we enforce that?
And I'm glad you asked that. Now, if you have a, let me put it this way.
Mm.
You have a truck working, and I come and rent your truck. I paying you what you ask for, but all the agreement is in my hand, so I could tell you, well, look, I'm carrying your truck Tobago to work. Is either you want it to go Tobago, you want the contract, or you don't want it, because I paying for everything, so I have say I could make demand. Just like when the ship charter, I am paying all costs on the ship, and the cap the ship owner pay the seafarers. But a middleman coming in the business as the agency and cut out the ship owner from paying, and he take over that to exploit the seafarers. That is plenty, some of all these things what happening. In the offshore industry, the offshore company used to be paying the seafarers, paying the agency to pay the seafarers, giving the seafarers working gears on board all the ships and so forth. Now it is done by the agent to exploit the seafarers.
So you would like safeguards within that to, one, change that arrangement, or at least have a better oversight, questions asked over that process, so that Trinidad and Tobago seafarers can be better equipped, or, you know, have the bigger opportunity to get those jobs.
And
yeah?
The opportunity is to put the right charter agreement in place.
Mm-hmm.
Make the shipping act to become law, the shipping bill. We sent in a lot of proposal for seafarers. One guy who was sitting on the board with it called me and tell me he liked the proposal I sent in for the seafarers.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that they is being looked at, they is being recognized.
And so once putting that shipping act on the table for discussion in Trinidad and Tobago, there's a better chance of locals being hired across the board and even internationally.
Well,
yeah?
we does hire and go internationally.
Mm.
But as I tell you, the problem is blocking everything here is the charter agreement. As long as you put that into the charter agreement, we have officers. Look, you have officers, seafarers, officers group. Those, when I say officers, they are engineer, captain, and mate.
Mm-hmm.
We affiliated. They have to go foreign and work. When they could have been captain and engineer on the sea bridge, they have to look for work foreign. They are not giving them the work and the rate that they want to pay them. We don't know how much.
Well, there we go. The rate that they want to pay them and the condition of the boat, because how many times we've heard those boats, the Inter-Island Ferry, giving so much trouble, and, you know, I know that's a whole different story altogether.
Well, we could go all into that.
We only have 3 more minutes to go. But, you know, all right, so briefly, your best advice for choosing a vessel that could work efficiently between Tobago and Trinidad?
Hear my advice for that. Just the same way the past government went to the Australian company who built in ship and take a loan to build the two fast ferry, this government could do the same thing with a shipping company and build a passenger cargo, new brand, carrying at least 1,005 passenger and not the deep draft as what they will think. You're building the ship wider with less draft and carrying more cargo.
Let's take a call. Good morning. 625-2257, 627-3223. Good morning. All right, let's try again. Got some messages coming in. Let's see what your contribution is. Good morning. Can you ask the guy who is QMED and who in Trinidad certified that?
Who is what?
QMED.
I don't understand what that one is.
Neither me. I guess it's some sort of certificate. Can you explain a little further, messenger? Thank you. Let's take this call. Hello, good morning.
Morning again, tough guy. I know you gentlemen feel very dismissive and that kind of thing in relation to what I said, but let me ask him. All right, so the question of scope, mean vessel size and the difference between those leased by government and those in the private sector. I know private sector would engage more in the training of the personnel and so on to man the vessels, and that have a limited scope depending on the size. What are you talking from the government perspective that locals should handle those vessels leased to government? What areas of employment you're talking about? And are you talking about the technical aspect and the question of the lower rank jobs on these vessels you want locals to attain?
Mr. Gentleman, we are not talking about lower rank jobs. We are talking about from the captain to the beginner, the full crew. We have qualified, certified people with Trinidad and Tobago license with English endorsement from UTT, the highest train, the most qualified training. So when the company a company charter a vessel, all the expense is on the charterer. The vessel is not yours. It come like you rent it for a 12 months,
yeah,
or a 6 months, or how much you pay the owner, what is his price. Like for instance, the Blue Wave, $25,000 a month US. I don't see that ship deserve that. It too old for that. It too old for that. It will give you plenty of trouble remaining here, you know.
Okay. So that is a very big eye-opening part of it, because we always wondering why these ships given so much trouble. And then we hear the issues of Tobagonians not receiving goods on time. And yeah. All right, let's take it. I see that more questions are coming in here. Big respect from Mr. Curab to your guest, Tusker. I have been a follower of this gentleman for many years. I have learned so much regarding maritime matters from him. Let's take another call. Good morning.
Morning, Tusker.
Good morning.
Oh, is that gentleman saying that if I invest millions of dollars on a boat, he must tell me who I must put on that boat, who should be the captain, who should be the bosun, who should be what? I invest my money, so I have to seek my interest. So I will put people who I have confidence on.
Hold it. Let me...
So you trying to basically say Trini's not exuding that confidence?
Let me ask you one question. So if you come and look for work with your new brand vessel where you spend all your money on, to work with me because I have cargo that you want to transport, and we come to agreement, you say you tell me what is your price, and I tell you, well, all right, I have qualified and certified seafarers here, what you could make demand on, the captain and the chief engineer, all the balance belongs to me.
625-2257 627-3223 is the number. The person replied by saying, qualified member in engine department, only U.S. certified. Employment agency takes half of your salary. Trinidad Maritime, lawless. Okay, 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. Hello, good morning.
Now, Tesca, I am trying to help to educate Trinidad and Tobago with the maritime industry for the experience I have.
Mm-hmm.
And
I guess that's a little to how the industry is moving at this moment. But let's just take this call. Good morning, you're live.
Good morning, Tosca. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
So, I've had the pleasure of working in the marine industry for over 25 years, and I'm still part of the industry. In the Chagaramas Peninsula, I have had the opportunity of seeing the ills of what has happened in the marine industry in Trinidad and Tobago. And currently, what is happening with the jet skis, I feel sorry because I think we have the syndrome of Peter pay for Paul and Paul pay for all, which is not, if we have legislation, we don't have implementing of these legislation. One of the things I would like to point out, when we do take ships, and I'm talking about the Blue Wave or any big ship, and you are in the negotiation process, I have traveled the world taking ships from one port to the other also, as I'm proud to say I'm a female doing this and have done this.
Big up yourself.
Yeah.
By the way, you are a captain?
No, I'm not. I'm a consultant in marine. I have worked in the marine, foreign, and local industry for
years. I understand.
Mm.
So what I will tell you is, when we are negotiating to get a vessel, if it's for cargo or otherwise, what happens? The owners of these vessels give you an option. If you take option A with their crew and their captain, it's $5. And if you take option B with your crew and your captain, is $1 million. The reason is the risk factor is greater. Now, the liability on these ships are huge. So when you don't have their captain, you run the risk of something going wrong. It's a chalk and cheese price we're talking about.
Mm.
Now, what I always say is that, okay, we know we have to have the captain, we have to have your engineer, we have to have X, Y, and Z. But all of the other staff should be local.
All right. Let me ask you one question. So if my captain from Trinidad and Tobago have English certificate with TNT from UTT, and the captain you have on board come from, let me say, the Philippines.
Malaysia. Let's say Malaysia.
Right. Would you know what does happen down there? Who is the more qualified and competent person?
So the leasing of the ship has nothing to do with qualify or competent. What has to do with what these ship owners, remember, we don't own these ships. They are very meticulous with who is captaining in their boats. And that is where, now I'm not saying what is happening is right or wrong. What I'm saying is, when you are in the negotiation process, this is what you are faced with, as you are just saying that we should build a ship, we should go and get a ship built, and it should be, of course, you know, our waters out in the north coast, when it's rough, we have a hard time crossing to Tobago. And if you own a ship, I agree with you, owning a ship is 10 times better, but when is that going to happen?
So in the atmosphere that we are in right now, you're saying that the go-to arrangement is to lease the ship, and the person who owns the ship says, well, I feel more confident with my captain, second captain, and all the other positions. So how can we, if we have to come down to that, how can we ensure that the other positions on the boat is filled by Trinese Tobagonians?
Well, that is when you are negotiating. Your negotiator, the team that you send, is, okay, I moved the ship from Miami to another country, and the captain had to be their captain, their crew, whatever. But, of course, we wanted our people on board, and it was negotiated there and then that this is who's going to be here, your engineers, but everybody else. The deckhand, the crew, all had to be our people.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And it was in the contract.
Let me say one thing here again to you and hear this. Right, we reached to this agreement. I say, well, all right, okay. You will have your captain and your chief mate on board. You will have your chief engineer and your first engineer on board. And the balance belongs to me because they are qualified and certified. Every captain and every chief engineer is the owner representative. every captain and every chief engineer is the owner representative.
Yes.
And then it just stops there. So is there a standard?
Well, there would be other crew members that they would have to have. It depends on the size of the ship. It all goes with this. And the gentleman will know that.
No, size doesn't have nothing to do with that. It's the qualification.
Well, I don't think a small ship will have three generators, a six-cylinder engine, 10 water makers. If you go, three inverters, all of these things, they would have different things on board. GPS navigation, depth sounder, fish finder. So you would want to know, okay, what are your navigational requirements? Who is your engineer? All of that.
Ma'am,
and then from there, you take it.
Ma'am, the second engineer is the navigator on board.
Yes.
The second mate is the navigator on board. The captain is the manager to administrate. The chief mate is who responsible for all the runnings of the ship on the deck.
Okay,
He handed over to the bosun on a morning, which I did for 25 years. He handed it over to me. I take orders what we're doing today, and he know that me and my crew is qualified and certified.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
The problem there is the negotiator who sits in the negotiating room doesn't know all these things to say,
So
what you're saying is...
With this jet ski incident and with the marine sector in Trinidad and Tobago, it's a point that I have been driving home for years. We need to look at our marine sector. Firstly, do you know how much money we are losing? Do you know how much millions of dollars that are being bleeded out of this country through our marine sector?
Because of lack of knowledge,
Lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
That is the number one.
Yeah. Because from the positions that you're calling, there are many positions that I'm not even familiar with, far less to define what their responsibilities are. And
I will tell you, I will tell you the other thing, that we are losing millions of dollars in insurance. We are using millions of dollars in equipment. This is the tip of the iceberg, speaking about.
Ma'am, let me tell you something. One minute.
Thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Same to you.
I was sitting on discussing these things, putting laws and legislation and regulation in place with the jet ski, with the fishermen and all of that. With my experience, I was sitting in that. I won't call the name of the place where I was sitting in that. But I was a main person sitting there giving me experience because I start out as a fisherman.
Mm-hmm. But she's gone now. We've got like about 5 more minutes to go. It is, like I say, a very vast industry. And the point making that persons who need to know about the industry in terms of what positions can be guaranteed to, in this case where it's being leased, the boat is being leased, the key positions to be on the boat and then others that need to be filled by Trinidadians and Tobagonian citizens. Now, in terms of the, let's say, for example, the air bridge for right now, the main thing you would like to see so that it have
on the sea bridge, to
make it flow better, what would be the first 3 things you would want to see change?
The first thing I would want to see change is move it away from the people who operate in it right now, which is...
That's a tall order.
Hear me. When they bring these two vessels, the APT James and the Boko Reef, the Prime Minister, who from the past government said, this ship is for Tobago, but it's Trinidad and Tobago. Tobago never get the opportunity to operate these vessels. We are saying that the Prime Minister, the Transport Minister, together with the THA, should sit down and discuss that we must give Tobago a chance to operate the ship. Here what is happening. The company who is operating the ship want to send these vessels on board on dry docks, peak time. That must never happen. You see, when school open and you have no set of big activity, that is the time you get the ship ready. Ship no rest.
Right. So just to define dry dock is when you put the ship aside and
you carry it by
and
the
your
doctor.
Repairs.
You carry it by the doctor.
You put it in quarantine.
No, you carry it on the dry docks. You go up on the dry docks.
Quarantine means something different.
Quarantine is when you have some problems with sickness on board, and you know you quarantine it that nobody could come off, nobody could go on.
Go on.
And the type of sickness too.
Right. But
I'm just thinking like long time days, they quarantine when it is like malaria or
right.
something that's contagious.
You got it.
But
Teska, no, you see, the right operating will be that system. When you have no peak time, you send the ship on board, you make them on the dry dock, you make them ready.
Mm-hmm.
So when the peak time, you have them that could do 3 trip a day.
Mm-hmm.
You hire a
standby
crew.
And run efficiently.
You hand by a standby crew.
Mm-hmm.
So when the crew on board tired, as they reach either Port of Spain or Scarborough, the standby crew walk in and you're moving people. Nobody ain't staying in Tobago and saying they pile up there, they can't get into thing. And next thing I want to see happen in Tobago, which I stand up and experience. Rain falling, passenger have to stand up fighting for a shelter and going on board, you know, which they're supposed to have that part of the port
covered
so that people won't stand up in sun and rain. Treat you with dignity because it's the taxpayers' money paying the port workers the same way.
Well, I have to stop the interview here. I mean, there's so much. Another person was saying as well here, what's the difference between a wet lease and a dry lease? Good day, Trinidad and Tobago government needs to restructure and do better for its citizens because this is a big industry for persons to get employment. Voice note coming in. Let's quickly take in before we close off for today. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Tosca.
Morning.
I have an advice for this gentleman. Form a cooperative, buy a boat, and employ his people.
Well, you have no advice for me. Keep that advice.
The thing is, as you kind of... It's not to trivialize the topic.
Keep your advice. That's
right?
Good for me.
That didn't make any sense. Because you know that is not possible. You know that these kinds of transactions is millions and millions of dollars.
You are accustomed to your farm. You stay there.
Oh, Lord. We didn't have to go there. But okay. But okay. Let's remain nice. Let's remain calm.
There are groceries in Tobago. I live in Tobago right now. I live from there. I'm going to Tobago. No food.
Yeah.
Right now. No.
Goods are not coming as quickly as we would like them to come. The thing is, it has been a perennial problem. And it's been going for quite some time. So this would be the... call to pay more attention to the maritime industry and see exactly what needs to be rectified so that one, a continuous service can be done between the islands. Two, since we like to talk about the young people and what they're doing and what they're not doing, provide another sector where they can be gainfully employed.
Give them an opportunity.
Give them an opportunity. And two, you know, vessels that we could be proud of, as you mentioned in the beginning, you know, the pride and joy you will feel if you know that these ships are fully manned and fully operated by a Trinidad and Tobago crew.
Look at the simple thing, Teska. To see your son or your daughter is the captain on the fast ferry, you traveling to go to Tobago, and they come and, mommy, between the whole crowd. Everybody will be looking around. That is your son. That is your daughter.
Yeah. I mean, we see those feel-good moments with pilots and so on internationally. And the local one, too, the young boy.
Watch, the Pilot Association, a lot of them trained together with me while I was working on many ships. We and them have a close connection. They're willing to assist, to help. They you see, bringing in all these ships is the same way they train just like us and reach up to the top. So when you hear people talking these kind of thing that they don't know nothing and want to bring down people, we Trinbagonian are qualified, valuable, skilled, talented people. Put, give them the right salary and you will see the different change.
All right, TNT, would like to thank you very much for coming in to Freedom 106.5 FM, Mr. David Stanley McLeod, and also Mr.
Odeng
Kwao. It's such an unusual name.
Q-A-O.
Kwa.
Yeah, African.
Kwa.
Well, you will have to bring us back, you know.
Well, yeah, because the part of the marine sector.
Maritime.
So it's maritime sector.
Yeah, you have marine.
With marine affairs.
Marine and maritime. Marine is who walk on the shore in the ports and thing. Maritime is who goes to sea.
And the whole question of how these ships are employed, the revenue that, as one caller said, is, you know, not being utilized in TNT in this sector, how we can, you know, latch into it or tap into it, and qualifications as well. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see how we could get you back on to expand the conversation. All right?
I'm ready and happy.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we continue.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
106.5.